He walked barefoot through Babylon, armed only with truth, drumbeats, and dreadlocks. They called him the Quiet One, but he was never silent. He was the voice of the mystic drum. Bunny Wailer, founder, fighter, father, prophet. From trenched-down zinc fences to the hills of Zion, his journey was not just music, it was message. Welcome to the History of the Caribbean audiobook. If you haven't already, we invite you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss a story. Today, we're honored to bring you Bunny Wailer, A Journey Through Time, Episode 4. Get ready to immerse yourself in a powerful narrative that goes beyond music, into legacy, resistance, and roots. Because here, our mission is simple: to keep our culture alive, one story at a time. Chapter 13, Final Words, Final Fire. The fire never left him. Even as his body began to betray him, slowly, painfully, piece by piece, the flame inside Bunny Wailer still burned. It didn't rage as it once had. It flickered. It whispered. But it remained. Defiant. Holy. Uncompromising. To those closest to him, the change had been gradual. Bunny had always moved on a different rhythm, slower than the world, deeper than the moment. But by 2020, that rhythm had softened further. His steps were more cautious. His sentences more deliberate. He would sometimes pause mid-thought, eyes far away, as though seeing something others couldn't. He had suffered multiple strokes, quiet earthquakes that rearranged his balance, his speech, his energy. Yet even in that fragility, Bunny refused to be pitted. He carried his aging body like an old drum, cracked, worn, but still echoing truth. "Me not dead yet," he whispered to a nurse once. "Me just tuning up." Those around him tended to him with sacred respect. Not as a celebrity in decline, but as an elder, a holy man preparing for transition. His home in St. Thomas became more like a shrine in those final months. Filled with incense, quiet chanting, psalms written in the margins of notebooks, and visitors who knew they were in the presence of something eternal. Some came to ask for blessings. Some came just to sit. To listen. To be near the presence of Bunny Wailer one last time. He didn't always speak. But when he did, people listened. And the things he said then, in those fleeting, lucid moments, were not about the charts or his accolades or the fame he never chased. They were about legacy. About redemption. About Africa. About Jean. About Zion. He talked about her often. Jean Watt, his queen, still missing. He would call her name in prayer, sometimes in sleep. And sometimes, when the clouds hung low over the hills, he would murmur, "She ahead of me now. She prepare me way." It was that thought, that spiritual certainty, that seemed to give him peace. He believed she had gone ahead, not vanished, but transitioned. She would be there when his time came, waiting, whole, smiling. The final fire began to flicker more intensely in early 2021. His health deteriorated rapidly after his last stroke. The vibrant man who had once paced stages like a lion now remained mostly still. But his mind, on good days, was sharp. Sharp enough to know the end was near. Sharp enough to want to leave things in order. He called for his children. For his closest circle. He wanted the music protected. The rites honored. The message preserved. He gave instructions with clarity, even when his voice trembled. He spoke of land. Of culture. Of spiritual inheritance. And in one especially quiet moment, with just his son by his side, he said, "Me not fear death, me son. Me only fear falsehood. Make sure de truth outlive me." He didn't want monuments. He wanted memory. He didn't want praise. He wanted preservation. The last thing he ever recorded was a chant. Not a song, but a whispered invocation. Barely audible. It was never officially released. Those who've heard it say it wasn't meant for the world. It was meant for Jah. A spiritual passport, a prayer folded in breath. On March 2, 2021, the lion finally slept. Neville O'Reilly Livingston, Bunny Wailer, the Black Heart Man, transitioned at the age of 73. The news broke like thunder across Jamaica, across Africa, across the diaspora. Reggae mourned, not with tears alone, but with drums. The Nyabingi beat rang out in yards, hills, back alleys, and mountaintops. Fires were lit. Chalices passed hand to hand. Radios played Dreamland like it was scripture. Elders wept. Youth looked up his name for the first time. And the world paused. Jamaica declared him a national hero. Politicians praised him. Tributes poured in. But those who knew, those who understood, didn't speak in headlines. They spoke in silence. They spoke in ital meals served to neighbors. In ganja rolled not for escape, but for remembrance, in stories passed on to children. His funeral was a ceremony, not just of mourning, but of recognition. Held in a government-sanctioned event, Bunny's casket was draped in red, gold, and green. His body rested in white robes, dreadlocks still full, face serene. They played his music, not as background, but as scripture. The hills watched. The trees listened. He was laid to rest in his beloved St. Thomas, beneath the same sky he used to chant to. Beneath the same stars where he said Peter and Bob still burned. The soil embraced him like kin. And in that moment, Bunny Wailer didn't die. He returned. To the source. To the root. To the garden. And yet, he is not gone. His words remain in the wind. His voice still hums in old speaker boxes and vinyl grooves. His face watches for murals painted on trenchdown walls. His spirit moves through every reggae rhythm rooted in righteousness, every chant that echoes Africa, every breath of fire that dares to question Babylon. Because Bunny was never here for applause. He was here for awakening. And now, in death as in life, his fire continues, not as flame, but as frequency. Chapter 14, The World Mourns. When the news broke that Bunny Wailer had passed, it was as if the heartbeat of the earth skipped. Reggae lovers felt it. Spiritual seekers felt it. Generations of Jamaicans who had grown up hearing his voice drift through the streets, from dusty speaker boxes and transistor radios, paused with a heaviness they couldn't fully name. It wasn't just a legend who had passed. It was a frequency, a protector, a messenger of roots. And now, the voice that once danced through vinyl grooves and sound system stacks had gone still. But the silence didn't last long. Across the world, the mourning began, not just in black suits or candlelit vigils, but in rhythm, in fire, in remembrance. From the hills of Ethiopia to the streets of Kingston, from Rasta camps in Shashamane to reggae bars in Japan, Bunny Wailer's name was spoken like prayer. And everywhere, the same chant echoed. The Black Heart Man has returned to Zion. In Jamaica, the loss was seismic. The government quickly declared Bunny Wailer a cultural icon, a lion of music, a national treasure. Flags flew at half-mast. His passing made front-page headlines on every major newspaper. State officials released statements filled with reverence and regret. Yet for many, the official tributes, while necessary, barely scratched the surface of what Bunny truly meant. The people took over the mourning. In Kingston, murals appeared within hours, Bunny's face rendered in red, gold, and green on cracked concrete walls. Some paintings showed him with arms raised in prayer, others with his staff, others with Bob and Peter beside him. Three flames reunited beyond the veil. Trenchdown became a shrine. Elders sat on plastic chairs, sipping Roots tonic, staring at the ground. Sound systems rolled out speakers and blasted Black Heart Man, Dreamland, Protest, Time Will Tell, and Rock and Groove on repeat. Men wept openly. Youth danced in circles, heads bowed. Rastas lit chalices and reasoned under trees about Bunny's message, his warnings, his prophecy. His silence. And then the tributes came. Musicians across the globe offered their grief in song. Chronics called him the drumbeat of our spirit. Damian Marley wrote, "If Bob was the voice, Bunny was the vibration." Burning Spear posted simply, "The teacher has gone home." Reggae artists, dub poets, Afrobeat musicians, hip-hop MCs, and jazz scholars, everyone who had ever touched sound with soul, paid homage. International publications who had once overlooked Bunny in favor of Marley headlines scrambled to catch up. The New York Times, The Guardian, BBC, Rolling Stone, and Al Jazeera all ran tributes, some factual, some reverent, some guilty in tone for having ignored his legacy too long. Documentarians pulled out old footage. News outlets replayed archive interviews, some grainy, others sharp. Bunny in robes. Bunny speaking about Rastafari. Bunny laughing with Peter. Bunny harmonizing next to Bob under a mango tree. Each clip reminded the world of what had been forgotten. That Bunny Wailer was not just the other Wailer. He was the anchor, the conscience, the soul. But the mourning wasn't just musical. It was spiritual. In the hills of Jamaica, at Nyabingi gatherings, the drums were beaten not for performance, but for passage. They played the heartbeat rhythm, the 1-2-1-2, ancient and primal. Fire was lit in circles. Psalms were read under the moonlight. Priests and priestesses burned incense and chanted, "I and I send forth D Black Heart Man to Zion, where no more chains, no more lies, no more Babylon." Many believed Bunny had not died. He had simply transcended. Just as he had sung for decades about the train to Zion, about returning home, about Africa in the sky. He had now caught that train. And if you were quiet enough, if the wind blew through the trees just right, you could still hear him, somewhere between breath and drum. His official funeral was a blend of state and spirit. Jamaica's government ensured he received full honors. But it wasn't a stiff affair. It was an offering. Held outdoors, surrounded by hills and trees, the ceremony brought together politicians, priests, family, elders, and musicians. His body, wrapped in white, rested in a cedar casket, dreadlocks tucked gently behind his shoulders. A Nyabingi drum was placed at his feet, the Ethiopian flag folded at his side. The Prime Minister spoke of Bunny's contributions to culture. But the moment that brought everyone to tears came not from the stage, but from the speakers, when they played Dreamland. Bunny's voice, soft and pure, rose like incense into the sky. "There's a land that I have heard about, so far across the sea." People sobbed, heads lowered. Birds flew over the hillside, as if summoned by sound. It wasn't just mourning, it was release. And around the world, other ceremonies unfolded. In Nairobi, Rasta elders gathered under acacia trees. In London, hundreds lit candles outside the Bob Marley Blue Plaque House, placing notes that read, "Thank you, Bunny." In Brooklyn, artists painted murals of Bunny with cosmic light surrounding him. In Tokyo, vinyl collectors spun bide up at candlelit reggae bars, raising glasses of sake in silence. In Ethiopia, a group of Rastafarian elders declared March 2nd an annual day of reflection in Bunny's name. And yet, even in mourning, Bunny's spirit pushed the world toward accountability. Many began to question why it took his death for them to speak his name, why he had not been celebrated more in life, why his albums, some of the most powerful in reggae's history, weren't always taught alongside Marley's in universities or played in mainstream retrospectives. And so a new movement began, not just to honor Bunny Wailer, but to educate the world about what he stood for. Educators built syllabi around Blackheart Man. Music historians revised timelines, emphasizing Bunny's creative influence on the Wailer's early harmonic structure. Spotify, Apple Music, and YouTube created dedicated tribute playlists. Youth in Jamaica started printing t-shirts not with Bob's face, but Bunny's. His legacy was being reborn, not as a shadow, but as a son. And so the world mourned, not with headlines alone, but with action, with reevaluation, with rhythm. Because Bunny Wailer had always said, "D music must live longer than me." And it will. Because his music was not just entertainment, it was instruction. His silence was not absence, it was meditation. And his death was not the end. It was the echo, still ringing, still reminding, still resisting. Chapter 15, The Message Lives On. Long after the dust settled on his grave in St. Thomas, long after the chants faded into the hills and the flames of ceremonial fires dimmed, something remained in the air, vibrant, invisible, indestructible. It wasn't just Bunny Wailer's name. It wasn't even just his music. It was the message. The message lives on. Like an ancestral frequency, it pulses through sound systems in Kingston. It echoes in reggae vinyl shops in Brixton. It rolls through headphones in Nairobi. It flows like river water through dusty speaker boxes in Accra. It reverberates off rooftop patios in New York, Lagos, and Tokyo. It is not confined by language or era. Because Bunny Wailer didn't just sing songs. He encoded truth, and truth never dies. In classrooms, his lyrics are now studied like sacred text. At the University of the West Indies, a course titled Rebel Roots and Conscious Rhythms devotes 3 weeks to the works of Bunny Wailer. Professors dissect Blackheart Man like it's scripture, analyzing the metaphors, the biblical structure, the Rastafarian prophecy encoded in every bar. "This train," one lecturer says, "isn't just a song about spiritual destiny. It's a blueprint for moral purification. Students don't just listen, they feel. They debate the layered meanings in Fig Tree, the psychological power of fighting against conviction, the transcendent sorrow of dreamland." In Ethiopia, at a Rasta community near Shashamane, his songs play every morning at sunrise. Not just to remember, but to realign, to root daily life and message. In music, his impact deepens by the day. Young reggae artists now carry Bunny's legacy not just in tone, but in purpose. Chronix has spoken publicly about how Blackheart Man taught him that silence is a verse too. Kabaka Pyramid once said, "Every line Bunny spit was a sermon, a full sermon. That's what we aiming for, righteous weight." In Nigeria, Artists in the Afrobeats and Afro-reggae scenes are sampling Bunny's vocals, not to chase nostalgia, but to stitch his message into the now. One of the continent's rising stars, Ira Soul, said, "We no longer need to ask if the message lives. We need to ask, are we living up to it?" And the answer, in many places, is yes. In hip-hop, Bunny's legacy is being reborn in verses. More than ever, American rappers are citing Bunny in their lyrics, not just Bob, not just Peter, but Bunny, referencing this train, Armageddon, Rasta Man, and his unapologetic stance against systems of oppression. Producers sample his chants, his harmonies, his whispers. J. Cole played Roots, Radix, Rockers, Reggae Live during his 2023 tour, calling Bunny Wailer a prophet with perfect pitch. Even Kendrick Lamar, known for his layered social commentary, sampled a fragment of Bunny's wisdom chant in a hidden interlude during his Mr. Morale sessions. The liner notes read, "Sample cleared by Solomonic Records, in honor of the last Wailer. In political circles, his voice is finding new relevance. In Jamaica, activists play Bunny's music during marches for food security, against violence, and for reparations. In Haiti, his voice is used as a soundtrack for grassroots rebuilding projects. In South Africa, Pan-Africanist leaders quote Bunny in speeches alongside Garvey and Biko, because what he said was never just for the stage, it was for the struggle. And in a world still wrestling with inequality, war, environmental collapse, and cultural erasure, Bunny's voice offers clarity. Babylon Sion mash we spirit, he once said. Only we can do dat. The message lives in the youth. Children born after his death now wear his face on t-shirts, not because it's trendy, but because it feels right. Because something about his eyes, his words, his silence pulls them closer. They watch old footage, him speaking softly about the earth, about Africa, about love and liberation, and they believe him. Because Bunny never chased popularity. He chased principle. And now, that principle has become protection. In community gardens across Jamaica, his lyrics are painted on murals. The root must never forget the soil. In youth centers, his quotes are carved into wood. Sing Fidi people, not Fidi praise. In new music collectives, producers create entire EPs as offerings to Bunny's message. They don't chase streams. They chase alignment. And in the silence, he's there too. In the quiet of meditation. In the rolling of chalice. In the planting of seed. In the beating of hand drum against belly at sunrise. In the flicker of candlelight under black skies. Because Bunny wasn't just trying to preserve reggae. He was trying to preserve consciousness. A way of being. A way of seeing. A way of living in harmony with the earth, with spirit, with each other. The message lives in the very soil of Jamaica. In 9 Mile, in Trenchtown, in St. Thomas, people still speak his name like prayer. Tourists visit his resting place not just to pose, but to listen. Some come expecting spectacle. They leave changed, because they feel the presence. They walk through his garden. They touch the staff he once held. They hear the echo of the drum he once beat. And they realize, this was no ordinary man. This was a keeper. Of rhythm. Of reason. Of righteousness. And so, the message lives on. In books. In films. In whispered blessings. In chants shouted from stages by new warriors. In the tears of elders who remember him before the fame. In the laughter of children who know Blackheart Man by heart. In the next song. The next march. The next revolution. Because Bunny Wailer didn't just leave behind albums. He left behind alignment. He reminded us that music must not just sound good. It must stand for something. And that's why his fire will never die. Because a man may return to the earth. But the message? The message becomes the wind. Chapter 16, From Earth to Zion. There comes a time when even the greatest voices go quiet. When the vibrations that once shook stages, echoed in alleyways, and rattled the walls of Babylon dissolve into silence. But in that silence, if you listen with more than ears, if you listen with spirit, you'll hear the truth. Bunny Wailer did not die. He returned. Returned to the place he always sang about, dreamed about, fought for, preached of. The place beyond illusion, beyond pain, beyond Babylon. The place of ancestors, of freedom, of eternal rhythm. Zion. He had spoken of it for decades. Not as a metaphor. Not as a poetic device. But as a destination. As a reality more real than the corrupted world we were taught to love. To Bunny, Zion wasn't a hope. It was a home. His songs were roadmaps. His lyrics, coordinates. And now, after 73 years of walking barefoot through fire, chanting truth into microphones, growing food with his hands, holding children with love, and surviving the destruction of two musical brothers, he had arrived. From Earth to Zion, from man to ancestor, from voice to vibration, the people still gather. Not to mourn, but to reconnect. On the anniversary of his death, they walk barefoot through his garden. Elders burn frankincense. Children chant psalms. Sound systems echo his words, not at full volume, but low, like a heartbeat. They plant trees in his name. Play this train at sunrise. Share meals, ital and honest. No flesh. No salt. No lie. And someone always says it aloud. Him not gone. Him just reach home. In the spirit realm, one imagines the reunion. Picture it. Peter Tosh, waiting with arms crossed and a wicked smile. Bob Marley, seated by the riverside, guitar across his knee. The rhythm of the ancestors swelling in the distance. And Bunny walking forward, staff in hand, wearing white robes woven from clouds and light. No more pain in his stride. No more burden on his back. Just peace. Bob rises first, chuckles softly. Took you long enough, Rasta. Peter smirks. Me thought you was gonna mech Babylon keep you forever. And Bunny. He just smiles, lowers his staff, and says, me had to finish me work. They embrace. Three flames, once scattered, burning together again. They chant. They harmonize. They reason. And the universe listens. Because even in the cosmos, Bunny is still a teacher. Still speaking softly. Still guarding the roots. Still reminding the stars that the music was never about hits, it was about healing. Still calling the next generation into alignment, even from beyond. Because truth is eternal. Because vibration never dies. Back on Earth, his presence lingers in unexpected ways. A young artist in Brazil hears Blackheart Man for the first time and cancels his record deal, choosing independence. A child in Nairobi dreams of a man in white robes handing her a drum, and wakes up with lyrics in her heart. An elder in Kingston, once a rude boy, now teaches ital cooking to teens, quoting Bunny like scripture. The impact is subtle like wind, but unmistakable, because Bunny's work wasn't just to sing. It was to plant, and what he planted continues to grow. He gave us roots. He gave us a sound we could trust, a truth we could measure ourselves by. He gave us a way to come home, even while walking the wilderness. His life was not flashy, not loud. It was deliberate, measured, full of fasting and fire, of discipline and depth. He never chased the world. He waited for it to wake up. And now, as the world begins to remember, to truly see him, not just as a wailer, not just as a voice, but as a vessel, we understand what he gave us. He gave us a blueprint. He gave us a way out of Babylon. So what now? Now we carry it. We carry the drum. We carry the silence. We carry the chant. We carry the staff. We plant what he planted. We protect what he protected. We speak what he would have spoken. And when we walk, barefoot and upright, through a world on fire, we do so knowing Bunny already walked it, and walked it righteously. From Earth to Zion. From sorrow to sound. From man to meaning. He is not gone. He is just ahead. Lighting the way. With truth in his steps. With fire in his breath. With roots in his wake. Long live the Blackheart Man. Long live the message. Long live the drum. Selah.